You know, if I would have applied myself, I could have gone to the NBA.
You think so?
Yeah, I think so. But it's just like, it's been done. You know, I didn't want to, I was like, I don't want to be a follower. Hi, I'm Jason Concepcion.
And I'm Shea Serrano. And we are back. We have a new podcast from Wondery. It's called Six Trophies.
Woo!
And it's the f***ing best.
Each week, Shea Serrano and I are combing through all the NBA storylines, finding the best, most interesting, most compelling stories, and then handing out six pop culture themed trophies for six basketball related activities.
Trophies like the Dominic Toretto, I Live My Life a Quarter Mile at a Time trophy, which is given to someone who made a short-term decision with no regard for future consequence.
Or the Christopher Nolan Tenet trophy, which is given to someone who did something that we didn't understand.
Catalina Wine Mixer trophy.
Ooh, the Lauryn Hill, you might win some, but you just lost one trophy. And what's more, the NBA playoffs are here, so you want to make Six Trophies your go-to companion podcast through all the craziness. Follow Six Trophies on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. Listen ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to the MHB postgame show. I'm your host, Carlo Navas. And with me today, we have nobody. It's a holiday. People are off. We were supposed to do hangover time today, but hangover time got moved because Alf had to attend to a work matter. So we tweeted out the schedule at MIA Heatbeat on Twitter. If you don't follow us, check out over there for all our schedules. Hangover time will be on Wednesday against the New Orleans Pelicans, so that'll probably be a more fun game as well. You know, it'll be a more normal start time than I think everyone is. I think everyone's more used to. And listen, you know, you get Alf instead of me, and I think that's the real win today, right? You know, you don't get me hosting hangover time. We keep it Alf. But Miami Heat lose today, 113-121 to the Hawks. It was. I thought it was one of the more interesting games of the season. Incredibly frustrating if you're a Heat fan. I think, you know, this is a game that you want to have. New York and Indiana lost today. You know, you could have moved up to six in the standings, and you don't have a game against New York yet. Like, you haven't played them. So you could really create some separation, you know, once you start getting to play them. Obviously, Indiana, you know, you have the tiebreaker over. So just a bad day. They come out looking flat. They look slow. They look, honestly, you know, a lot has been made about Spo and kind of the Spo-tations and everything today. I thought they were a little unprepared in the first half for what Atlanta had. I thought they came into the game with the mentality of they were going to be able to do kind of what they did last year, which in their credit, they did toward the end. But I thought early on, Atlanta kind of came with some new stuff and they just were not ready. I thought one of the things that the Hawks did was they were getting into sets very, very quickly. And Atlanta plays at the second slowest pace in the league. And teams that tend to have like high volume pick and roll guys always are like that, right? It's like Luka Mavs are the slowest team, and then the Trae Young Hawks are right behind. It's always kind of teams like that. And, you know, if you're Miami, that plays into your hands. You can kind of switch and muck things up. You play to your pace. Atlanta in the first half was getting into sets very, very quickly. They were pushing pace a lot. What happens is that Miami can't get back to their matchups when Atlanta's pushing in transition. So you end up with Caleb on the wrong guy, with Bam on the wrong guy. And all of a sudden, your switching doesn't work as well if the guys who are supposed to be where they are now not in the actions that you need them to be. So they went to the zone a ton, which I thought Atlanta did a really good job of kind of picking apart with their ball movement. Just Trey in general kind of pull-up shooting kind of neuters that a bit as well. So they, in general, you know, very equipped to stop the zone, and they kind of forced Miami into that with kind of their pace. Second half, Miami doesn't hit a single thing in the first half, by the way. The offense was just non-existent. You know, you really didn't get much out of, you know, you got nothing out of Tyler in the first half, like absolutely nothing. You know, Jimmy was really the only guy on offense that you could have relied on in the first half. Bam was okay, didn't really have much. Gabe was fine in the first half, didn't really give you anything. Same with Caleb, right? And if those guys aren't giving you Max, I think they hit 1-3 the whole first half. You know, Max didn't really give you much either. Oladipo not either in that first half. So, you know, all that being said, they go into halftime, and it's probably the most impressive third quarter I think they've had all year. Hey, for all the shit we give Spo for the other stuff that we're going to get into, they changed the game plan. They're like, okay, they're going to be fast. We're going to keep up. We're going to mix in drops. We are going to trap. We're going to trap early, and we're going to trap late, and we're gonna hedge. We're going to do all sorts of different things, and of course, we're going to switch. And they threw all those different looks in the second half, and they were playing very, very, very high up on the ball. Just not something that they normally do. I think the guards typically do, not the wings, right? Like Miami, I think, and Alf's right. Alf said it took too long, G, and that's, listen, that's part of the kind of like the bad thing about Spo sometimes in the regular season. He takes too long. Like, he took way too long to go to Orlando Robinson over Deadman. He took too long to even play Hassan that one year that he was playing really well. He's a bit stubborn. He takes a bit of time to kind of get into things. I think in the playoffs, he's a bit quicker on the uptake, but Miami made those adjustments. And they were out flying in transition, and that's kind of been when they've been at their best. And they put a stretch together where they look like a team that you could say, man, if that's who they are, that's a good fucking basketball team. Look at what they do on defense. This is what the idealized version of who they are is. And that was an Atlanta team that has played really well recently. They have a lot of good, they have some good wins. They're healthy. You know, a lot of these teams that they've played recently are missing guys, are unhealthy on the second nights of back-to-backs. You know, this is probably one of their bigger tests in the last couple weeks. So, you know, other than Brooklyn, which I thought they played that game well up until the end. So, you know, they lose. But I thought that they put some stretches together where they looked impressive. And they made that a game. And, you know, I thought in the fourth quarter, you know, as everybody did, it was just like no Bam and Jimmy together for so long. You know, the fact that Bam went out with 7 minutes left, he hadn't even broken 35 minutes yet at that time. And it's like, bro, if Bam has to play 40, like, Bam's a young man, you know what I mean? Like, he's sitting at like 30 something, like low 30s. You gotta get him in. And they waited a little too long to get Jimmy in the game, who also wasn't sitting on like a really huge minute total as well. I think Bam had a couple of foul trouble in the first half too, so kind of sat early. So you had that wiggle room to play with. And they just, and I, as much as I like Orlando Robinson, and I've been a big Orlando guy, credit to Frankie G, host of Pre-Gaming that we have here at Heat Beat. You know, he's been saying, he's like, I like Orlando, but there's going to come a time where he's not going to be very playable, and it's not his fault. He's a little too young. He's a little too inexperienced. He's better than Deadman, but he still has his problems. And I thought tonight was kind of a night where you see that you're like, oh, yeah, he's a little young. They kind of went at him in kind of ways, and you just – you couldn't afford Bam to sit, and that's kind of where we are. And Crab's like, are we really back to Spotations talk? I'm not, I don't want to do that. I'm just kind of talking about, it was strange. It was a bit strange. I did give Spo credit for the adjustments at halftime because I thought that flipped the game, kind of the different looks defensively they did. And they forced Trae Young into, what was it, 10 turnovers, 10 or 11 turnovers? They have that man in hell. That man's figured out. That man had 10 turnovers tonight. He had 24 on good shooting. So credit to him. You know, the 11 free throws is something that if you're the Heat, you gotta be careful on that. That foul by Caleb, that reach-in, you know, when they got it to four, that was a really, really bad reach-in. I'm more mad about the ways it, not the first half. I'm mad that they lost on an inbound that when they had a timeout, you know, and I'm not going to sit here and shit on Depot. He's not the guy that usually inbounds for them in those pressure situations. That's usually Kyle. And when Kyle's not there, you know, Depot's now in that position. And, you know, Atlanta, I thought, defended that pretty well. Nobody really got open. Had the timeout. I don't know how communicated that was, but it's not a position that he's used to being in for this team. And he probably hasn't been that guy for a team in a while. And even when he was, like, the star in Indiana, I don't think that that's something that he did a lot. You know, you usually want your best player on the ball, so... It's unfortunate. It's just another way that injuries show themselves. You know, even while they're playing well without Kyle, because Vic has played so well, you know, it kind of shows up in areas like that where, you know, the wrong guys are doing the things that they're not used to. So it's just unfortunate and frustrating. Couple like weird fouls at the end there. That double team in the fourth quarter, you know, when I'm I liked when they were throwing the doubles in that third quarter because it came as a surprise. Atlanta now knew that was coming. And when you get Trae Young on the wing, he's kind of he's walking the ball up slow. He's using clock. So he knows that double's coming. And that gets a little predictable. And I thought they kind of played into it a little bit because eventually he got the ball back with Bam kind of on his side. And that was just a one step to beat him. You know, the Babs obviously out there, then the backline Capella, Tyler's on him. That's an easy lob. So you kind of shoot yourself in the foot there. You want to double late, not early in those situations. I know that you're scared because the last possession he beat Caleb on the dribble. He kind of had the reach in. You got to trust your guys to be able to stay in front of him. And if you can't, then you can't. You know what I mean? You send help and you make a guy hit a three or something. But, you know, to give up a lob at the rim like that off, I think, an ill-timed double. You know, again, for as good as Spo was for the second half adjustments, you know, I thought they looked a little unprepared to start. And I thought some of the rotational decisions on a night where guys didn't have too many minutes, you know, wasn't good.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Victando in chat says Kyle always takes a timeout better than a 5 seconds. Absolutely. And he's more used to that because even in Toronto, he always inbounded the ball, right? Because it was always to get it to DeMar or Kawhi, you know. So he's great players don't tend to be inbounders, right? Like Shane Battier inbounded for the big three Heat. You know, it's Gordon didn't even inbound, you know what I mean? As good as it was like Justice, right? It's guys that, you know, usually Spo like size. Or kind of like that veteran kind of savvy that Kyle has. So not to shit on Depot, just frustrating. New York lost in Toronto in overtime today, you know, against a team, by the way, in Toronto that is not look very good and is below 500. The Knicks lost at home, right? So the Knicks lose to a sub 500 team at home. Indiana lost to a Giannis-less Bucks. The Giannis-less Bucks, the Giannis and Middleton-less Bucks at Miami beat up at home. So Indiana loses that game. That was in Milwaukee. So the two teams, kind of the team in front of you and behind you, you know, both lost. You could have really created some separation. It's just frustrating, man. And I have no doubt that they'll come back on Wednesday and they'll play well. And they might even win against a good Pelicans team that's kind of struggling right now. They're 5-5 in their last 10. You know, not as good as they were to start the season, but still number 3 in the West. But you know. Listen, the Hawks are better than they were last year in some ways. You know, you get DeJounte and he kind of figured some stuff out. They hit everything, and I mean everything. And you were just a little flat-footed, right? You were just a little flat-footed to start. And Tyler was just so... I mean, Tyler had, what did he have, 2 field goals. There was that 3, that really big 3, which I was scared of him taking. And then that little floater kind of deep in the paint. And he also forced a technical on Trae Young, so I guess we can count that point for him. So we'll make it 6 points for Tyler Hero. But I think that's just the story of the match. And if I'm a Heat fan, I don't come away from this game thinking, yeah, we can't beat that team like a lot. Like I think you saw, you know, other than that first half where they were just hitting everything, that second half, especially that third quarter, looked more like how they did in the playoffs when they played each other. And I think Miami knows that they can get Atlanta into playing that isolation heavy game. And, you know, again, if not for that bad half and not for a couple things, you know, you kind of take that. They're going to watch the film. They're going to know. I think it does kind of bring up, and maybe, you know, I'm not trying to like sunshine pump or be overly positive, but, you know, maybe this opens their eyes a little bit to, you know, maybe we need a bit more from our backup center position. Maybe as much as Orlando is an improvement over Deadman, maybe we need to look like maybe for another upgrade. Maybe their eyes are open in the trade market, the buyout market, all that stuff. So I thought today was the game that it really reared its head, and it was incredibly obvious. Chad's asking if I'm alone. I'm alone, baby. The MLK day. People have the day off. We're going to do hangover time. We decided against it last minute, and I'm here. What Fig says, if only we didn't get into a deep hole by halftime. And that's the shit, man. Like, they're not what they were last year, which was, you know, a really elite team who was the one seed. You know, they're trying to get from 4 to 6. That's like the target range that they're going for this year. And 4 is getting pretty out of their grasps, like, quicker and quicker. So, I mean, Philly's there. Philly's about four games up. That's a lot of ground to cover. They haven't played Philly at all this season. So you can make some of those games up. You have Cleveland ahead of them as well. You have to leapfrog the Knicks and the Cavs. Cavs have right now a 1-0 advantage over them right now. I think Cleveland won today, I believe. So yeah, so they're going to be another game up because Miami, they're 3 games back. Now it'll be 4 because of the Miami loss today, and Cleveland did win against New Orleans. So frustrating. You needed this one. You're better than that team. I think the record says you're better than that team. I think we all know that they're better than that team. I think they know they're better than that team. And listen, as Alf said in our group chat today, you gave Trae Young and DeJounte Murray happiness today. That's inexcusable. You gave those dudes hope. And as far as we're concerned, that ain't it. That ain't it. So we see what they can do, and we see their potential. You know, unfortunate that, you know, Gabe kind of had a bad game tonight. I think you needed a little bit in the first half from him. They managed in the second half. Defensively in the second half, he was very good, but kind of tonight, you need a little bit more from him. You know, Max's minutes have continued to climb, and, you know, Tiff brought, I hung out with Tiff over the weekend. MHB had a little reunion. Tiff brought this up that the Max minutes are really climbing. He only had 27 tonight, but he had played like 40 minutes in like a couple, like quite a few games in a row. So kind of something to look out for. But he's really their only like real shooter, right? Because Tyler's been such an on-ball player nowadays. But in terms of like legit spacers, you know, Max has really like been the only guy lately because Caleb's been out, who's kind of, Caleb's had a good shooting season. But it's just tough, man. It's tough. It's tough when they're hurt. It's tough when, you know, as much as you guys love to shit on Kyle Lowry, you know, he's a guy that helps you today. Help, you know, Atlanta controlled the pace in that first half. And I think something that Kyle does bring you, you know, you can criticize him all you want, but I do think that he controls the pace of the game pretty well in the way that they want to play, right? And I think that he's kind of always shown that he can do that. He doesn't turn the ball over a lot, which is a huge part of this. His turnovers are always low, and his assist to turnover ratio is very low this season. And, you know, you don't want to get kind of Atlanta out and running, stuff like that. And I think you kind of want a little bit more out of your pick and roll game than kind of what they got in the first half. But, you know, hopefully he can get back. Hopefully Gabe can bounce back because we know that he's capable of more. And I like the aggression from him, and especially kind of all they give. Depot, another guy, not the best scoring night for him. Really active in a lot of ways. 7, 6, and 10. For him tonight, the 10 assists is big time. I don't think he had a single turnover. No turnovers for Vic. 10 assists, no turnovers, 6 rebounds, 7 points. Shot 3 for 8, 0 of 4 from 3. He's going to be a shaky shooter. I think depending on his three-point shooting is a little foolish, and I think we all know that, which is why kind of they need more production out of guys like, you know, Gabe, like how they've given them kind of that shooting lift lately. Max, kind of need a little more shooting out of him. Caleb, now that he's back in the lineup, hopefully he can provide you some more shooting. And then you kind of hope that guys like Kyle can kind of come back. Kyle's at like 35% or something on the year. Kind of hope that goes up a little bit and to kind of surround these guys with enough shooting to keep them going.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
You know, in the half court tonight, I'm kind of pulling up some stats. Miami, you know, 98 offensive rating in the half court. Atlanta, 115. That's not going to do it. Miami is offensive rebounding a lot better as of late, which probably kept them in the, you know, especially in that third quarter, a lot of, you know, kind of been able to convert those kind of missed shots. They missed a ton of layups tonight, which is, again, another thing I'm kind of watching. Their numbers at the rim in terms of finishing, a little suspect. Even Bam, you know, outside of dunks, you know, it can look some, it could look kind of wonky. Miami actually great in transition tonight. You know, 163 offensive rating in transition, plus 6.8 per 100 possessions, point difference between them and Atlanta in transition. Atlanta was good, but Miami was really good, especially off steals and stuff like that. Off ball live rebounds, they were good at pushing in the second half. I thought they looked snappy in the second half. They had an urgency, and I'm going to look at what the outscoring by Miami was in the second half. So it was they won the third and the fourth quarter, 63-51, right? So more of what you're used to by them. Obviously Atlanta had that 38 point, you know, first quarter, which again is just unacceptable. If you're Miami, you got to do more. They weren't felt, and I tweeted today that, you know, a guy like PJ Tucker, you know, his physicality is something that you miss so much, because Atlanta in that first half was kind of able to get into whatever set they wanted. They weren't felt. And because Miami doesn't have so much size on the floor anymore, you know, we talked about earlier how, you know, because of how Atlanta was pushing the pace, Miami wasn't getting the right guys and they were able to manipulate switches a little better. There used to be no place to hide, right? Because PJ and Caleb and Jimmy and Kyle and Bam, they're all so physical and demanding, and even deeper in the playoffs for them. You know, those are so many plus defenders that are really, really physical with you. And I thought Atlanta was able to kind of not have the physical guys in actions. You know, Jimmy was doing a lot on offense at the time as well. So just a weird first half, a very unlike them first half. You know, I was talking to Alf, you know, we were texting, and it's like, man, like, they just, I know that, like, it looks bad, but man, this, I know, we know that they're not great, but this is not who they are. You know what I mean? That was uncharacteristically bad defense by them. And that's, you know, that's really it. You know, Miami shot 43% at the rim today. 63% from the rim today, which is not good. Atlanta shot 77%. You know, 63 is a 36th percentile. You know, that you need that number up, right? You need to make sure that when you know, Miami is a team that doesn't, you know, they're not creating as many opportunities. And tonight they did. They have 43% of their offense came at the rim, which is good, but, you know, you're not finishing enough, right? And if you're getting to the rim, if you have a night where you're able to get to the basket, you need to make sure that you capitalize and you finish. You know, the 3-point shooting we know from Miami was fucking wonky as hell, man, especially in that first half. They couldn't hit a damn thing. So hopefully, you know, they can kind of bounce back against New Orleans, where we will have our full coverage. There was no pregame today because, you know, it was an early start, and not everybody has, you know, a government job. We don't all have the day off, but pregaming for sure on Wednesday. Tomorrow there will be a podcast at 7 p.m. Eastern time, and I'm just here filling you in a little bit, a little quick 20-minute hitter. on the game, what happened, because I did think it was pretty interesting, and I appreciate you guys for stopping through, hanging out with me. We'll see you tomorrow for the pod, and if you're only here for game day coverage, remember we have you pre-gaming 30 minutes before, so that leaves us at 7:30 Eastern times on Wednesday before the Pelicans game, and then, of course, at the buzzer, hangover time, you got Alf, you got Brass, you got the whole crew. You know Siobhan's going to be on against the Pelicans. That's her second team. We're going to have fun. We have a couple, couple fun stuff. You saw last time, we had Tony on. We're always doing cool stuff over there. So if you don't check out Hangover Time, make sure to check that out. And I'll see you guys tomorrow for the pod. Maybe you're not with guests. We'll see. So peace out, everybody.